You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Schools Today, a special edition of Catholic Community Faith here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary's Parish in Evanston. And co-hosting,
and you're getting really used to saying that. It's very natural now.
It's been now
for the
6 weeks.
Couple of weeks, it was a little forced. It was a little dull. St. Mary's in Evanston.
I was so used to St. Mary of the Woods,
right.
In the Edgebrook Wildwood area. And so my brother told me to take all my St. Mary of the Woods jerseys and just delete of the Woods.
There you
and
go.
I have St. Mary, and
in the interest
and
of
save a few dollars,
fiscal prudence,
and yes, save a few dollars. And co-hosting, you can hear the voice right here. Wayne Madjar is Vice President and Chief of Staff of Loyola University Chicago.
Good morning.
How are you, Wayne?
Excellent. Nice to see you.
How was your weekend?
It was good. It was relaxing for once. Not a lot of commitment, so that's always a nice thing.
That's rare for you.
Yeah, it is very
that's
rare.
That's rare, and I think I was part of yesterday, the 30th anniversary of Theology on Tap with the Cardinal, of course, the Director, Father John Cusack, and Dr. Kate DeVries, and marvelous, a huge crowd at the Cathedral, of which then many of them made their way back to the Cardinal's residence for that lawn picnic, and 30 years of Theology on Tap, so congratulations
good,
to
that's a good
program. It's a great
Father
program.
John yep. and yep. to Kate for the marvelous work, and the people have worked with them, and our phone number here is 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. And I think I read in the paper this morning, today is the 39th consecutive day in Chicago of at least 80 degrees temperature. And the record in Chicago is 42, which you're talking every day this week, 90. So on Friday, we break the all-time record of 80 degrees or more in Chicago. It's been a hot summer.
Don't you feel as if we should be paying tuition for all of this fact, all this fountain of knowledge?
I think it's great, Wayne.
Wait till I go into sports.
Really?
I'll give you a sports update. We are very happy to have with us today Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Great to be with you guys.
And my favorite archdiocesan employee, because Sister Mary Paul and I always bump into each other on the street about 6 o'clock in the morning. Because we're always here on time and early. Just like both of our bosses to know that we're here at 6
That's
o'clock
true.
In the morning.
That's true. Right. Our eyes are almost open.
And Sister Mary Paul, you are doing a marvelous job. This is your second or third year?
I'm going into my third year.
Into your third year. And the time has gone by quickly. And now, as the Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago, we are just about to embark on a new school year, which is unbelievable. Where has the summer gone by?
Especially when we had so many schools that had summer school up until, so the kids have just gone in time to get the buildings all ready.
Are the summer school programs bigger today? I mean, are they getting bigger every year? More schools?
Yeah, they really are. A lot of enrichment. St. Mary's of Woods, St. Thomas of Canterbury, had in St. Mary of the Lake, went ahead and had, I think, about 300 kids there for chess tournaments. Don't laugh. Teaching them chess. And so it's a lot of enrichment, a lot of great, not just remedial anymore. Most of the high schools have used it for years in order to really teach coursework to get the kids ahead. So much is demanded for the for college prep. But in terms of the elementary schools as well, especially where there's air conditioning and things, we really encourage the summer schools so that there's no loss of learning for the kids.
Now, I know many of the grammar schools begin around August 25th. I think a few of the Catholic high schools begin even the previous week.
Right.
But tell us, Sister Mary Paul, what are some of the new and exciting programs that we are about to embark
upon. Well, it's
upon.
Great. We have our principals coming in tomorrow. They're doing all kinds of fun things with us, learning about some of these initiatives. And I think you're going to be learning about them this morning as well. Basically, with our 257 schools, all of them reopening, that's big news in itself. That's a huge commitment on the part of the Archdiocese to really support schools in place where they are to really help the neighborhoods. We know that that's a responsibility then for us to be sure that really the faith is taught very well, that academics continue, although they're excellent, continue to improve, never being satisfied, and that we keep working on enrollment, which of course is a challenge across the country, especially in the economy.
How does enrollment look for this year?
And, you know, it's hard to tell because they're not there yet, but we're cautiously hopeful. We've been losing, 4.5-5%. Of our enrollment every year, and we're hoping to stabilize that, slow that rate down through some initiatives that we've had, summer scholarships, opportunities to hold kids in place that we really want to keep, reaching out to the Latino community and to those students who are now looking for a private Catholic school option.
And the reality is some of the schools are doing really well, right? And they've got
growing. Yeah, we had Breaking Ground in St. Mary's South Loop, and St. Joseph Ads is a reconstruction. Immaculate Conception North Park had to buy another school in order to court across from St. Joe's Parish to try to accommodate their growing enrollment. So we haven't been very good about following our Catholic population, and I think that's one thing that we have to kind of take a look at too in the future, in all areas, Pilsen Little Village, everywhere. Where are our Catholics?
So part of the demographics have changed.
They have.
One city have now moved out in the suburbs. I know a place like Holy Family in Inverness. That's
huge. Yep, they started out with 22 kids, and they're in need. They're really cramped for space. And on the other hand, there are a lot of young people that move back to the city who really love the city, who now are having their first and second child, who are thinking, what are my options within the city of Chicago? So we have the pressure not only to meet the needs of the suburbs. That's St. Norbert's, for example, with no Catholic schools in Schaumburg. That was deliberate. They're taking in a lot of those kids, So
the only Catholic school out there would have been St. Hubert's and Hoffman Estates.
St. Hubert's and Hoffman Estates.
Because I was ordained in 79. I was sent to Church of the Holy Spirit in Schaumburg. And there was the only Catholic school in that area was St. Hubert's. It was marvelous. One thing I do find...
It still is marvelous. Great place.
It still is a great place. And what I always marvel at, Sister Mary Paul, is the dedication and the sacrifice of faculty, staff, principals in the Archdiocese of Chicago. They are the tremendous backbone.
Well, they are. And I always laugh when people say, when teachers have the whole summer off or administrators have the whole summer off. Not true, especially as you're improving programs, you're dealing with parents, you're working with enrollment. The only time you really get to do that kind of strategic planning pretty much is in the summer to be able to set up what you want to do with your families when you come back. So good administrators are really 24/7 and teachers.
We're going to talk to a couple of principals later on in the program, but a lot of new principals this year?
A lot of new principals. They've been working very hard. We've had quite a team retire. We're also looking at a new model, the board initiative schools. 15 grade schools and one high school are going to be looking at a new form of governance. So we're taking a look at seeing if we
can... Say something more about
that. Well, the pastors have been great, and they've said that they want to continue to be the spiritual leaders. They'll watch over the curriculum. They're going to be very concerned about liturgy, fit the family's education in the faith, as well as the child's. We want them very engaged in the school. We want to relink our schools very critically back to the parishes. But the finance piece and the hiring of the principal will come out of the pastor's hands with their permission. And that, for many, is kind of a relief. It's kind of like, take my wife, please. but for the most part, it's going to be interesting to see. And that's allowed us to take a look at some schools that are in various geographies, various demographics, various racial mixes, various levels of finance, to see if we can, by looking at new academic models and new leadership, do something with these schools that can be very a model for the rest.
You're listening to Catholic Schools Today, a special edition of Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with co-host Wayne Magyars, and our special guest the first 20 minutes, Sister Mary Paul McCauley, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Maybe ask Sister a question that's been burning on your mind. Well, now's the time to do it. You have about 10 more minutes. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Invited to join Cardinal Francis George and other interfaith guests on Tuesday, August 31st for the 2010 Interfaith Iftar Dinner. Iftar, an Arabic word meaning breaking of the fast, is done by Muslims every evening during Ramadan, the Muslim month of fasting from sunrise to sunset. This year's program takes place from 6:30 to 9 p.m. on August 31st at the Islamic Community Center of Des Plaines, and includes the breaking of the day-long fast, observance of Muslim sunset prayer, dinner, and a program. There is no charge, but seating is limited. Your RSVP is required to the Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs at 312-534-5325. That number again is 312-534-5325. We hope to see you there.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Traveling this summer? Then stay connected to your church while you travel by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio.
Sister Mary Paul wants her own show.
9:15.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. Well, why not?
Sister Mary Paul McCauley.
You know, we spend hours and countless dollars on legal fees to have the profession represent Father Greg and me to negotiate these very, very, very generous contracts we have to do this program. So we're happy to turn over some of our stipends.
Is that dime still in your pocket?
Is it still? Yeah, is. It still is. Sister Mary Paul McCauley, who's the superintendent of the Archdiocese of Chicago School System, is with us this morning. Always a delight to have you here. 257 schools will be opening up in just a short period of time. The principals start reporting for duty, if you will, beginning tomorrow. And we talked a little bit about how parish and school work together before the break. But let's talk a little bit about how the families kind of get plugged into the life of the Catholic schools.
Oh, parents are huge. Whether or not they begin with, which most of our schools do, with an orientation meeting for families and new families, bring them into the Catholic culture and the expectations for excellence, even to the details of what kind of homework. Almost all the schools, of course, have the parent-teacher conferences at least twice a year. Wonderful, what we're calling family school organizations. And we actually have a new set of bylaws that Sue Bortnero in our office has been working on that ought to go out to the schools very soon, which will give them kind of a way to measure the type of committees, the type of activities that parents can have. Past parents can stay involved through boards and alumni through alumni boards. So we have the parent is critical, of course. When the parent and the student and the school are on the same page, there isn't anything that can't happen in terms of expectation.
You have really hit on an important topic, having been pastor for 13 years at St. Mary of the Woods, an associate for 5, and I think it's so important. Parents sometimes underestimate the role they play in the faith development of a child. And then if a child's in a Catholic school, that we partner with the parents. We're not taking the place of. And I think it's so important in Catholic schools that the parents' theology needs to be continually updated.
Canon law and our own church, our documents, and every single policy book you'll find in the Archdiocese says that the parents have the primary responsibility for the education of their children, and that's Catholic education of their children as well. And so parental choice is huge. The whole investment of their time and effort with the school, the idea that if we're taking doing a wonderful job with First Communion or Reconciliation, how important is it for those families then to model that back in the parish? And I've often thought, wouldn't it be great, maybe we should keep the kids in school uniforms so that people could see who's going to Mass and just say, yeah, you know, sure. I mean, I'm being only half facetious, because it's a tremendous commitment financially on the part of parents to send their students to Catholic school, but it also should be a spiritual, emotional commitment.
I was smiling before when you said homework, because I first I thought, well, gee, you know, I used to hate homework. But I would imagine with technology today, it's very different than what it was before.
It's huge.
I got a great story. Yeah. There. I was back in fourth grade, and I was at Mary Seat of Wisdom Grammar School, and Sister Donatus.
This was the third or fourth year of fourth grade for you.
This is what I was repeating.
The Mercy Sisters were smart.
They were terrific. I'll never forget, Sister Donatus asked in fourth grade, the first day of Lent, boys and girls, what are you giving up for Lent? I raised my hand and said, homework. She didn't think that was too funny.
Which resulted in the fourth year in fourth grade.
And then I go home to make matters worse. My mother says to me, what are you giving up for Lent? I said, my brother. Yeah. So I didn't have a good Lent that year.
Yeah, it was a great Lent.
But tell us about technology.
Well, technology actually does link the home and school. But we have a student information system called PowerSchool that many of our schools are adopting, so that, in fact, parents can go online and see as the kid does the homework what score do they get on their quiz, and what are the teacher's goals for that day or that week and that month. So it's a very good homeschool communication tool with regard to accountability for the student and for the teacher, truthfully, too. The other piece that I really love is many of our schools have gone on to almost a Citrix system where the kids can continue to work on their themes even at home. And then anything that they've written can be archived on the school server. And so there's a lot of great things that a lot of the high schools and the elementary schools are doing as well.
And I would imagine as the parents get more technology savvy, as this generation moves on, that's going to really be an important link to their
I think it's
education.
Going to be huge. Yeah. I think letting them know exactly what's happening at school, whether or not it's homework or some kind of an area emergency. You know, we obviously have the school reach phone system, but their also ability to text, to email, to do that kind of thing for families.
Before we let you go, cost, tuition, vouchers, all of those things going on in the financial world, I'm sure you spend a lot of your time and attention on that.
Yeah, and Associate Superintendent Jim Quaid's been great on them, too. There is a chance that voucher program could actually pass up this fall. If we did that, we'd want to activate everybody in the parent community to make the parent and professional community to be able to bring new kids in culturally and academically into the system should that happen. Our preference, of course, is for corporate tax credits, where corporations can put aside a part of their taxes for education to an education fund that all parents can then draw from, charter schools, private schools, Catholic schools.
It seems to be moving,
and it would
so
be very powerful.
Yeah.
It's so slow, but it's been so successful in Pennsylvania and now in Arizona. They can hardly build a Catholic school.
There's
before
good
you leave,
records,
Sister Mary Paul, that as you begin your third year, and I don't mean to catch you off guard, in the time you've spent as the superintendent of Catholic schools for the Archdiocese, what have you found to be the most rewarding and yet most challenging aspect of your ministry?
The most rewarding thing is to put children first. And the most challenging thing is to be sure that we are the face of Christ for those children every single day, day in, day out, as a total Catholic community.
That sounds, and I'll tell you, that's a wonderful way to end the segment. That's beautiful. So I want to thank in a very special way Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the superintendent of Catholic schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Sister Mary Paul, love your enthusiasm, your joy.
Always love you, Greg.
Always nice to have you.
Hey, good to see you,
great
Wayne.
To have you. Keep up the great work.
Hey.
And God bless you. Did you get away at all for a little vacation this
summer? Not yet.
Okay, well, God bless.
I won't be
you
soon.
You're listening to Catholic Schools Today. I'm part of Catholic Community of Faith. Number 312-255-8408. Father Greg Sackless with Wayne Majors. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Myers Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackless.
What was that all about?
I was trying to adjust
Brian Brock, who's our engineer this morning.
There are
seven volume controls.
I just changed all of them.
On the table. And Father Greg just proceeded to go down to all of them, changing the up and down and up. And nearly blew my ears away because he finally found mine.
I wanted to make my headphone set louder. I think I made everybody else louder. You can't go any louder. Maybe I'm losing my hearing. Oh, that's a bit too loud.
What'd you say?
Well, welcome back. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Last segment, we talked about the weather. Now we talk about sports. Cubs keep losing. Sox are doing all right. That's it for the sports segment program on Catholic Schools Today. With us, St. Philip Neri School offer many new programs and opportunities for families and students attending this school year. New programs that are being implemented are choir, violin lessons, piano lessons, and University of Illinois Extension STEM program stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. With us in studio, Linda Sanders, the principal of St. Philip Neri School. Welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
I'm very glad to be here.
Good morning to you, Linda. And now, how many years have you been principal at St. Philip Neri?
This is my first year at St. Philip Neri.
A rookie?
Yes.
A rookie principal. God bless you.
Now, were you in the faculty before, or were you in another school? Or where?
No, I was not in the faculty before. Previous to coming to St. Philip Neri, I was a research assistant at the University of Illinois in early childhood development.
Okay.
And prior to that, I did a one-year principal internship with Chicago Public Schools.
Those are great credentials for a principal of a Catholic school in Chicago.
Yes, I think so.
Well, that's a great background.
Yeah.
Early childhood is extremely important, is the foundation.
Maybe a little side question. Did you always want to go into education even when you were a little girl?
I always did, yes.
You did?
Yes. Education, as I said, is the most important thing for our young people at home and within the school system.
Now tell us about St. Philip Neri. It's an elementary school. How many students? What grades?
Currently we have approximately, from our last year enrollment, approximately 80 students. We're a small school. We have the capacity to hold about 400 students. So we have room to grow. So we're working very hard to increase our enrollment. We have a preschool program and we also go to eighth grade.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So your class sizes then are relatively small.
They're relatively small, okay. Yes. And we're looking, as I said, to grow our school.
And tell us about your faculty.
Our faculty, currently we have four teachers, and as we grow, we will increase the number of teachers at the school.
So there is really then a great one-to-one ratio with, in a sense, with teacher and student. They really get to know the children well, so you get that great individual attention.
Exactly.
In all the classes.
The art staff, because it is a small school and the classrooms are small size, our teachers are able to develop the relationships that can where students can grow they can provide rigorous instruction. Our teachers are very strong in differentiating instruction to meet the needs of individual students. Parents sing very high praises of our teachers. So we're looking forward to a very successful school year.
Now, a couple of the new areas that you're going to be launching this year are in the fine arts, if you will. So various violin, piano, and choir. Why that?
Music and the arts are very important to our students' learning. Unfortunately, it's been cut out of many school education programs. We want our children to have a balanced education at St. Philip Neri. So we were able to bring in a wonderful music teacher who will teach music from preschool through eighth grade. Oh. Our students will learn music theory, and they will also have an opportunity, first of all, to learn how to play the recorder, and from that point on, different instruments. Our after-school program will be able to offer some private group lessons to families who are interested.
It's very interesting you talk about the whole area of music. I remember when I was in school, or a young boy, my mother forced me to take piano lessons for 3 years, and I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand the piano, and I so regret that today. I was always so busy outside playing football and baseball and basketball. Well, those days are long over, and to any young person maybe listening, if you have the opportunity to pick up an instrument and learn, please do.
So if you sat at piano today, you wouldn't be able to
I can barely find metal C. In fact, one story that was hysterical, I was practicing once at home, and I couldn't stand it, and my sister was there, who's a year younger, and she played the piano too. I said, Pam, come in here and practice for me. And my mother's in the kitchen, and I sneak out the back door, go play football. I was maybe 10 years old. My mother says from the kitchen, Greg, you're playing so beautifully. And there was no answer, because Pam's subbing for me. And Greg, you're playing so beautifully. My mother walked in, and was Pam practicing instead of me taking my place. Let's put it this way, folks. I never did that again. That was the last time I subbed out on
Linda,
the
your
practice.
Students would never do that.
That's right.
No, they would not, because they're going to have really this wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, and especially with a smaller school. I'm on the board up at a school up in Collegeville, Maryland, which is a prep school. Very intensive music program, and it is amazing the talents that these young students come in with, even from an elementary school education when they go to a college prep school, knowing not one but two and sometimes three different instruments fluently, and being able to really participate, read music, and understand, as you mentioned before, the music theory part too, and what it's all about, not mm-hmm. just playing a particular instrument. That's really a great plus.
It's important, because I think music also increases our students' critical thinking skills. Music also helps with math because they have to realize the counts of music,
right.
And so they become fluent in math. It helps
and
also.
I think, you're talking about a school being faith-based education, it's all about Christ and about how we live. And music's a part of that because, you talk about liturgy, they talk about singing is, according to Augustine, praising God twice. So that whole sense of song, of music, those are all gifts from God. And so just maybe for a moment before we go to break, Linda, let's talk about the faith-based education component of St. Philip Neri.
The faith-based education component is really the foundation of our school. Our students are challenged in today's society through media, through music, and they need support and faith to be able to have social justice, to understand how to give service back to the community, and to give fellowship. So that is a very strong component. Even though a number of our families are not Catholic, we stress the Catholic faith within our school. Families are required to also attend family mass once a month, and we ask them to participate in other ways religiously.
Great. Another piece of what you'll be doing at St. Philip Neri coming up this academic year is the University of Illinois Extension STEM program, which talks about science, technology, engineering, and math. We want to talk about that when we come back. Our guest is Linda Sanders. She is the new principal of St. Philip Neri School in Chicago, and you're listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Wayne Magyars and Father Greg Sackwitz with you. It's 9:30, and we'll be back right after this.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Hispanic ministry is celebrated in the Archdiocese of Chicago. We'll take you to the annual Noche de Gala. We'll talk with Cardinal George about the evolving role of deacons in the Catholic Church, and we'll relive the excitement in a southwest suburban parish that played host to Lord Stanley's famous cup. Welcome to the latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. It's 9:32 in the morning. Our guest is Linda Sanders. She is the new principal at St. Philip Neri School here in Chicago. And also, as we learned over the break, a PhD candidate in education at the University of Illinois here in Chicago. So
that's marvelous.
Linda, congratulations.
That's
on the
terrific.
Rest. Congratulations as you head toward the home stretch, because once you finish the coursework, as we all know, the dissertation is just a piece of cake, right? Of course.
Well, it's going to be a lot of work.
Have you picked your dissertation topic yet?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Topic and committee, of course, are the two most important things to get the rest of the way. So, free advice.
Okay.
We'll go to another break.
One piece of Philip St. Philip Neri that I know you've been involved in, Linda, over the years is the U of I Extension Program, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. Tell us about it.
Yes, the STEM program from the University of Illinois Extension Program is absolutely fabulous. They collaborate and come in to a school, and specifically our school, to work with our teachers in the classroom in biological science, chemical science, food science, and mathematics.
So they will come into the classroom with your teachers and help teach the children?
They will come in and collaborate with teachers to form lessons and work with teachers during these specific lessons. Mm. Now, there's also another way that this could happen. There is a Science on the Go bus that will that can come to the school. If there are certain projects where we would not have the material to complete the science lesson. At that point, the bus would come, would be there for probably 2 or 3 days. A number of children, 10 to 15 children, could go onto the bus for half an hour to 45
minutes.
Well,
Linda, this is a university walking into a grammar school setting. So what this does to the academic component of the school curriculum has to just jack it up immensely.
It does. It does. That the partnership with the coordinators of the STEM program is absolutely fabulous because of the expertise that they have in their field.
Yep. And you put this together, getting STEM, part of University of Illinois, to come to St. Philip Neri.
Yes, I did.
That is phenomenal.
Yes, I did.
You know, and looking at it from the other side, from the university's perspective, an unbelievable passion, it seems to me, today especially, for the sciences on the part of students. And as early as now, students are exposed to the sciences, and a lot of what you mentioned here certainly applies, I think creates a passion by the time they get to high school and certainly by the time they get to college for things of our world that are going to be so important in the future. For example, sustainability, building green, being responsible to the environment, medical education and research, all of that really coming together in so much of the fundamental sciences that are absolutely critical at an elementary school level.
I totally agree. Yeah. And the university's extension program, they also offer a veterinarian component where children learn through young animals. We will have embryology and incubation for our primary students. So they will learn, we'll have two incubators in the school. So they will learn about development, and from that point on, after those lessons, they'll go to the Museum of Science and Industry for a field trip to be able to observe an exhibit there that also connects. So it's teaching within the classroom through the partnership of the University of Illinois.
And there's hands-on there.
This is hands-on learning, which really increases our students' knowledge base. It excites them, and they are totally engaged. I think that's important and really a critical component of education now. We have lost many of our students because they have not been engaged in the type of instruction that we're giving in the classroom. So St. Philip Neri, our instruction is inquiry-based this year, where students are learning through problem-solving. And it's hands-on. They work in collaboration with each other as groups, and they refine their learning as they problem solve. So it increases their critical thinking skills.
It is truly amazing how much the pedagogy in the classroom has changed over the years. I mean, I remember in grammar school every Friday or Thursday having to sit through a really bad old movie about the polar bears of Alaska or the grizzly bears of Montana or plant life in southern Wyoming. And it was in many ways an opportunity to get completely disconnected from the subject because you really didn't have that experiential learning piece that is so interwoven into elementary, secondary, and university education today.
A grizzly bear in the classroom?
Well, no, but you know what I mean. I mean, it's not the same anymore. You don't.
Yeah,
it's not
true.
Good enough for a student to or for a teacher to run a film strip or run there's better ways to do it.
And yes, and there are ways to bring those components into the classroom. The Field Museum has a area, the Harris. It's an exchange where teachers can go and bring exhibits into the classroom as part of the school lesson. So it's bringing museums, artifacts into the learning environment.
It all comes down to that sense of being interactive.
Exactly.
Here's the other thing. I have found that when children are made aware, exposed to areas of learning at an early age. For some of them, it becomes then their career. One example I think of is, a little bit off the topic, is Roger Torrey Peterson, sometimes known as the biggest and best ornithologist in the United States. And he was, you know, wrote this book back in 1933 on field life for the birds, you know, a field guide, because when he was about 10 years old, had a hands-on experience in the area of birding, it changed his entire life. And Roger Torrey Peterson, the Peterson Field Guide to the Birds, that's just one area. So what you're talking about, Linda, is this interactive, and you are interacting with the very best of the best, with the University of Illinois, with the Field Museum. These are top-notch places, and this is on a grammar school level.
Yes. Yes, one of the another program from the University of Illinois that is going to excite our students, and I had an opportunity to talk to some of them this weekend, and they can't wait till school starts, is our robotic club. Now, that is where students will get a box of components, and they will have to build motorized robots. And after they complete that, around April, they will go to the University of Illinois in Champaign and be a part of a competition.
Wow, very exciting. Mm-hmm. Well, your enthusiasm is very evident. Congratulations on your new leadership role at St. Philip Neri. Best of luck for a terrific school year, and we'll invite you back and see how it went maybe a year from now, and we'll get a report update.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and God bless, Linda.
Linda Sanders, principal of St. Philip Neri School, has been our guest on the second segment of Catholic Schools Today. You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It's 941, and we'll be right back.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, but a special edition today, Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950. Time is coming up on 9:44 on this hot, humid day in Chicago on this Monday, August 9th. And Wayne, summer's going by much too quickly.
It is. Middle of August already.
And our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. And we have with us the new principal of St. Gregory High School, Lori Dykstetter. And welcome to Catholic Schools Today, Lori.
Well, thank you.
So you are the new principal at St. Gregory High School.
Yes.
Where did you come before the St. Gregory? Where were you before this?
I have been actually a professional development provider nationally in the area of curriculum and instruction for the past 5 years, and had my own corporation doing that. And just prior to that, I had started a brand new alternative school in the north and northwest suburbs of Chicago, the North Cook Young Adult Academy, and had began that and ran that for 8 years. There were four different campuses. And then prior to that, I had experience teaching high school and being a special education administrator and a school administrator.
Lori, in our segment before with Linda Sanders from St. Philip Neri, we were talking a little bit about kind of just on the surface the curricular issues and changes in pedagogy in the classroom. And that's based on your curriculum vitae have been a lot of the areas where you've spent the majority of your time. So let's kind of delve into this. What do you see as being some of the major themes or trends in kind of curriculum development, new curriculum initiatives, especially at the high school level?
Some of the new trends and critical needs for curriculum are inquiry-based instruction or concept-based instruction. It used to be known quite a few years ago as problem-based learning and has evolved quite a bit since then.
Now, say something more about that, Lori, about what you just mentioned. What does that mean?
Inquiry-based instruction in particular is setting up for students a challenge or an issue that they then will, in a structured format, use what are some of our natural ways of handling situations and learning new information. The steps that we use are based on Dr. Emily Alford's work of the past 17 years, and specifically our first meet the challenge, so students, getting students engaged in the learning and curious about a problem or an issue or authentic connection, and then having them go on to the next step of task analysis of really looking at what are they being asked to do? What is there that they need to learn? What do they know already? Where might they find some information? What are the best avenues for it? How do they formulate good questions? And so that we do quite a bit of curricular work on forming good questions so that you can find the right information. In today's world, there's so much information out there.
Yeah.
Very difficult to sift and sort through and know what's true and what's not and how much do you need. So that task analysis phase starts to narrow down and focus what becomes the next stage, which is investigations and going out and learning new information. Now, mind you, the students aren't doing this independently entirely. Teachers are both doing mini lessons and doing some guided instruction and some modeling throughout that whole process.
Lori, forgive me if I oversimplify this, but it seems to me like what you're talking about has addressed a long-standing challenge, if you will, especially in elementary and secondary education, and that is adding relevance to the subject matter. The ability, you know, how many of us, when we were in elementary or high school, were completely disconnected from a particular subject because we didn't understand how it would be useful to us at some point in the future, right?
Absolutely. It definitely does provide that answer.
Are there statistics out there to show that, or to demonstrate that this kind of inquiry-based education that really engages the student in, as you say, problem solving and then investigation, has positive effects on their ability, their cognitive ability to actually retain information?
There's a variety of research out there that one talks about a student's and individual's ability to retain the information longer. And there's research about their what's now being referred to as 21st century learning skills, their ability to critically think and problem solve, and then have interpersonal and some affective kinds of skills that will get them very far in the world. And for high schools nowadays, it's critical because the work landscape and even the college landscape is changing rapidly. And students need these critical thinking and problem-solving skills and interpersonal affective skills in order to navigate to where there may be jobs out there in the future that we don't even know of, that haven't even been invented yet.
You know, Lori, these things you're mentioning, Lori, when did this shift happen in this higher education learning? I'm a product of high school, class of 71 from Notre Dame High School for Boys in Niles. And granted, that's almost 40 years ago. It's a long, long time. The shift you're talking about has been taking place for how long?
It's at least for the past 10 years or so. I don't know an exact number, but I do know with the... Also, it's been the impetus behind it has been the technology. I mean, we're in a world now where there's Web 2.0, Web 3.0, even Web 4.0 tools, where there's virtual worlds of people interacting, and it's even beyond what we know and have heard of with Facebook and MySpace and things like that. And those are areas that our students engage in, regardless of whether they get involved in them in school or not, and businesses are engaged.
That's true.
In,
yeah.
And universities are engaged in
that. And I want to pick up on that when we come back, and this whole idea of social interaction and how it has really played into curriculum development of late. Our guest is Lori Dykstetter. She is the principal, the new principal of St. Gregory the Great High School in Chicago, and you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith, Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want me to bring it back?
I thought it was my turn, but go ahead.
Sure.
Go ahead.
It's Relevant Radio 950
to the
AM.
Wayne Magyar Show.
Father Greg Zachwitz with you this morning. Our guest is Lori Dykstetter. She is the new principal of St. Gregory the Great.
I'll be leaving now, Wayne. So that's
high
okay.
School. Lori, how many students are you going to be starting with this year?
We're going to be starting with about 100, and somewhere between 110 and 120. There are students who are still registering in these last couple weeks of school, so the number's a little flexible, but...
Okay.
You won't know exactly the number until the first day of school, which is when? August what? When do the doors open?
The doors will open on Tuesday, August 24th.
So you're talking 2 weeks from tomorrow. Tell us something a bit, for a moment, Lori, about the one-on-one laptop program you have at St. Gregory the Great?
The environment here at St. Gregory the Great will be a one-to-one computing environment where students will have laptops and or desktops to work from throughout the day, because we are going to have quite a bit of technology, and there's a program that will be instituted for students to be able to take computers home as well. So that if they don't have home internet access, they certainly have that opportunity to be able to do that. In the school environment, though, there is definitely a one-to-one laptop, and as I said, and/or desktop, because there are quite a few desktops that have been here. We're working with a company called Lifecycle PC, who's moving all of our information to cloud computing so that it's much faster and much more reliable internet access that we have in our school as well.
And Lori, is it safe to say that even especially at the high school level today, that the experience that the students bring with them, the knowledge of technology, has risen to the level of really being what you described, a program like you described, as being almost an expectation of secondary education.
Absolutely. I mean, students are coming in many times with skills that are stronger than their teachers in some cases that I've seen nationally when I've done my professional development nationally, because the access to various types of technology, even in low-income areas, tends to be extraordinary in many cases. And students are relying on that as their way of communicating. And communications have changed quite a bit in the way individuals communicate back and forth with each other, and we need to be, what St. Gregory the Great is going to be doing is embracing that and utilizing that technology and building on developing an individual's faith, them understanding their way of learning, their health and wellness, and their path in life.
So yeah, and you know, you probably heard the statistic just released this past week that on average, the American population has spent the equivalent of, I believe, 24 hours in the past month within certain demographics on social interaction, communication, Facebook, those types of sites, which is a phenomenal number in a very short period of time, and how that swing has taken place even over the past 3 to 4 years. That plays a huge role in how curriculum is developed and how students not only act with their instructors, but how they react with one another.
Exactly. And it's really critical that we're able to empower them with the skills and the knowledge and the understanding to operate safely within those environments. Yeah.
And it's really important to embrace those as positive tools rather than hindrances to education, right?
Absolutely. There's a fact out there, a statistic, that if Facebook were a country, it would be the third largest country in the world.
No, that is amazing. It's interesting that, you know, before the program started this morning, Lori, is at 7 a cup of coffee with Wayne, and he showed me his brand new, I think it's called a Droid X. Am I right?
Right, right.
I never even heard of it, and I'm glad I can use a
cell
phone.
It's changed my life.
And, you know, given honestly, it's when I take my appointments, I put into a calendar by pen. I have a cell phone. I think I'm pretty high tech. And
my goal, Laura, is to eventually have this Droid X sit in for me on the program, so I don't even have to show up.
Well, the point I want to make, Lori, is that these high school students walk in, and their technology background is incredible compared to many of their parents who don't have a clue what this world is about. And I'm one of them. I mean, I hear these words, you know, Facebooks and texting and Droid X, and for these young people, it's a completely different world, but it's second nature to them.
Yeah, it's a whole different language that they almost speak, especially when you get into how they communicate via texting and such. And there's wealth of knowledge and information there, and a great way for people to even utilize those tools to grow. And so to have that available in a safe, secure environment and password protected for students to then learn relevant information and interact with each other and connect. We have the capability in our school now to connect students from classroom to classroom working on a unit, from school to school, and even country to country.
Lori, we've got just about a minute and a half left before we let you go. We do want to give you the opportunity to give us a website for anyone who may be out there looking for a little more information about St. Gregory the Great High School.
Yes, our website is www.stgregory.org.
And a phone number?
And the phone number is 773-907-2100.
Do you have a Facebook page too?
We do.
Uh-huh.
But I don't remember. Okay. It is St. Gregory the Great High School.
Well, give us the phone number one more time, Lori. The phone number.
It's 773-907-2100.
We want to thank in a very special way Lori Dykstetter, the new principal at St. Gregory High School in Chicago, for being our guest the last 20 minutes. I also want to say a special thank you to co-host Wayne Madjars, who it's always a joy to do radio with you, Wayne.
And be sure to check out Father Greg's own page on Facelift.
On Facelift. We have a Facebook. We have a comic here. Special thanks to our producer, Jasmine Kudos. This time I got the name right for the month of August. And to our wonderful engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. To all our listeners, God bless, stay cool, and have a wonderful week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.